Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KBPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's February 20th. I'm Elizabeth Arcalian. Last year, our news partner CalMatters found that dangerous drivers in California have been allowed to stay on the road.
We were pretty surprised to find a number of drivers who were actually convicted of vehicular manslaughter who were able to get their licenses back and keep driving, and in a few cases actually cause another fatal crash.
That reporting has sparked a cluster of new bills targeting dangerous drivers. We'll learn more in just a moment, but first, these headlines. After a few tumultuous years, Yosemite National Park is eliminating its reservation system. As KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports, park officials say there's a reason for the change, but others aren't taking the move so well.
Park officials announced they will do away with the timed reservations after doing a comprehensive study of traffic patterns and parking availability. They looked at trends from last year, and they say the current visitor volume calls instead for more targeted approaches to traffic and parking. That could mean staffing key intersections to manage visitors and improving information about road conditions. But the move wasn't immediately welcomed by everyone. Some environmental advocates say the park needs strict capacity limits to protect sensitive wildlife and habitats. U.S. Senator Alex Padilla also chimed in to say overcrowding could be a consequence. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
A new study shows that climate change is a major driver of longer fire seasons across the world. The report in the journal Science Advances shows that globally, big fire-prone days have nearly tripled in the last few decades, from about 22 days a year to about 60 days. The report was co-authored by Kong Yin, a fire researcher at UC Merced. The U.S. Department of Transportation says more than 500 U.S. truck driving schools must close. They say an investigation found unqualified instructors, safety issues, and failures to properly test students. Unlike a previous action last fall to decertify up to 7,500 schools, this action is focused on schools the department says had significant shortcomings. The Transportation Department has been aggressively going after states that issue licenses to immigrants. A controversial proposal to tax the wealth of billionaires in California is getting a boost this week from one of the nation's leading progressives, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. KQED politics correspondent Guy Maserati reports on the first stop of Sanders' visit, a rally Wednesday night in Los Angeles.
Thank you, LA!
Sanders rallied support for a proposal that has divided leading Democrats in California, a one-time 5% tax on billionaires that's meant to offset federal health care cuts.
The billionaire class cannot have it all.
The tax is still a long way from becoming a reality. The healthcare union proposing the measure needs to collect nearly 875,000 signatures just to get the measure on the November ballot. But Sanders is the biggest name yet to throw his weight behind the idea.
When millions of people in this state are struggling to be able to afford healthcare, maybe billionaires should start paying their fair share of taxes.
Governor Gavin Newsom is the most notable opponent of the wealth tax. He argues it's already driving innovators out of the state.
That was Guy Maserati with our newsroom partner, KQED. The city of Tehachapi will soon have more medical resources. The city's Adventist Health Hospital will soon have a new primary care residency program. After graduating from medical school, residents will spend a year practicing primary care in Bakersfield and then spend a year in Tehachapi. The residents will come to Tehachapi starting in 2028. A Fresno-famous TV personality is signing off the air. Kopi Sotiropoulos has announced he will retire at the end of March from the Fresno area channel Fox 26. Better known as just Kopi, he started at Fox 26 when the station first began broadcasting in 1971.
Few things in life are certain, but astronomical auto repair bills, that's a sure thing. If the time has come to say goodbye to your old ride, consider donating it to KVPR. The process is free, it'll help fund the independent reporting you rely on, and you'll get a tax break. Visit kvpr.org/cars today for more information and to start the donation process.
And now to our main story. Those of us who are drivers in California know the rules of the road, have a valid license, don't drink and drive, obey speed limits, stay focused. But what about the people who choose to ignore them? And by doing so, cause a crash and hurt people, even killing them. What should their consequences be? Well, a bipartisan group of state lawmakers has introduced 10 new bills designed to crack down on dangerous drivers. And the move's a result of reporting from our news partner, Cal Matters, specifically investigative reporter Robert Lewis's series called Licensed to Kill. I asked Robert to recap that series for us.
We spent close to a year building a database of essentially every vehicular manslaughter and homicide case in California over a five-year period. And I and several of my teammates spent months basically driving around the state, going to courthouses, pulling the case files, really trying to understand what were the systemic issues that were leading to so much death on our roadway. And in short, what we found is that we as a state are failing to identify, to spot dangerous drivers, to keep them off the road before or until it's too late. And in some cases, we're not doing anything even after they've caused a fatal collision. We were pretty surprised to find a number of drivers who were actually convicted of vehicular manslaughter who were able to get their licenses back and keep driving, and in a few cases actually cause another fatal crash back on the road.
So crazy. Well, in your report from last year, you did highlight multiple examples of drivers who were able to get back on the road, as you mentioned. One of those people was Irvin Wyatt from Stanislaus County. Do you mind just recapping what happened with him?
Yeah. I mean, his record behind the wheel spread across two pages of a court filing that I read. He had a dozen speeding tickets. He'd been gotten violations for fleeing from the police, running red lights, causing traffic collisions, driving without a license for some period of time. And despite all of that, the DMV issued him a license, or let him renew his license, in 2019. He promptly got three more speeding tickets and was speeding again, according to prosecutors, their allegations, in 2023, when he lost control and crashed into oncoming traffic, killing three women. So just an example of someone who had this really egregious record on the road, was able to stay behind the wheel, and ultimately the worst happened.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to discuss an update to your reporting, because in what seems to be a response to your stories, several lawmakers are now proposing different laws to really end situations such as what happened with Irvin Wyatt, where these drivers can get back on the road despite serious problems in the past and collisions and things. So there are 10 bills actually introduced to address this issue. We can't cover them all, but what are some of these proposals ultimately trying to do?
Sure. Well, they tackle a number of different things. One of the main or major areas that they're looking at is intoxicated driving. So driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol. There's an effort to make it easier to charge repeat DUI offenders with a felony. One of the things we found is some of the weakest DUI laws in the country. It takes a fourth DUI without injury before you can be charged with a felony.
Wow.
So that's one thing they want to change. Felony vehicular manslaughter is not considered a violent felony in California. And as a result, people who are convicted of it can serve a tiny fraction of their sentence actually behind bars. So that's another thing that is sort of being looked at. There's a lawmaker brought back a proposal to require in-car breathalyzers. They're called ignition interlock devices that someone, you have to blow into and show that you're sober before the car will start. Most states require those after a first DUI conviction. We're one of the few states that doesn't. So there's an effort to get that in on the books. And then there's a couple other things directly related to some of our reporting. One of the things I reported was that there's a misdemeanor diversion program where judges can basically let people avoid a conviction on their record, but in this sort of unintended twist, if a judge grants it in a misdemeanor vehicular manslaughter case, it actually lets people keep a clean driving record. And so it creates this scenario where they would have actually faced more punishment for a speeding ticket than for having actually gotten charged with vehicular manslaughter and ending up with a clean record. So those are just some of the areas that they're looking to pass some legislation.
It's so crazy. It sounds like a lot of loopholes, intentionally or unintentionally. Do you think because we're such a car-heavy state that that's part of the reason that this isn't fleshed out well enough, where the consequences don't seem to be matching the crime, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of reasons maybe how we got here. I definitely think there is certainly a sort of cultural, psychological component where, you know, we treat car crashes as accidents. You know, the fact that we it's part of our verbiage, we call them accidents. And I think it's hard for sometimes people to realize or really think through the awesome responsibility of piloting a 5,000-pound hunk of metal capable of going 100 miles an hour, and what that can mean if you don't treat that responsibly. So I think there's some of that. I also think we have been very progressive in terms of our criminal justice policies and laws in the last several years, especially sort of in the wake of a realization or a broader awakening to many of the racial disparities baked into the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. And a lot of the outcry post George Floyd. But as a result, I think there's been a real sort of lack of interest or unwillingness to, you know, maybe to bolster certain enforcement systems.
Yeah.
And so while, you know, it is up, certainly well-meaning, and there's a discussion to be had about, you know, things like drug possession and many of these types of crimes in which no one is hurt. One of the things we found was that vehicular-related crime, where there really can be a victim, is often sort of lumped together in the same manner. And I think what is happening now is a discussion of whether that's appropriate.
Yeah.
And whether or not crimes in which can take a life and do take a life should be treated differently.
So any indication yet of how these 10 proposed laws could do in the legislature, or is it still too early to tell at this point? Sort of what's next with that?
It's really too early to say at this point. Some of these proposals, specifically I'm thinking of the IID proposal, did face some opposition last year. It was sort of sailing through, and then ultimately there were some issues raised by progressive groups, and there was some concerns over the funding. So ultimately that got sort of greatly watered down. So, you know, I think we're going to see certainly some opposition or some hurdles for these measures to clear before they become a law.
Robert Lewis, investigative reporter with our news partner, CalMatters. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.